Coming up on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, we've got our thoughts on the Twilight of the Apprentice. Let's do it! That's right, folks. It is the Star Wars Report podcast, episode 216. Oh, man. Thanks so much for tuning in this particular week. I'm your host, Riley Blanton, and we've got a great show lined up for you. Some special guests that we've got, but first I'm going to start with our regulars. It's my co-host, your friend and mine. It's the one and only, the inimitable, the illustrious, the somewhat perturbed, Mark Herleman. How's it going, Mark?
Oh, it's going good. It's going groovy. It's going Sithly, maybe.
Well, Mark, you were, I was right. Wait, who was it? I forget who said what. I'm just going to say I was right because I don't remember. I remember a conversation taking place between you and myself about whether or not Darth Maul was considered a Darth or is he no longer. And I think you were the one who took the side of, no, once a Sith, always a Sith. And I'm like, no, one Sith, two Sith, one Sith, blue Sith. Is what I said to that.
I even had to, while I was watching that, I was like, I was wrong.
Yeah, like, we were having some fun with that. But
Ahsoka will always be a Jedi, but Maul is no longer a Sith.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into all of it. We're going to get into the Twilight of the Apprentice, our full review, and we're going to actually have another special guest coming up in a few minutes who's there at the screening. But before we bring anyone else in, I want to move straight over across the L-shaped desk here in studio in the great fair city of Fayetteville, Georgia. It is my, wait for it, sister, Bethany Blanton.
Hello, everybody.
More like Jafar.
never gets old.
Hello, kitty. I'm very glad to be back on the show and looking forward to talking most specifically about Rebels.
Yeah.
The Rebels season finale. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
It was emotional. It was heart-wrenching. It was frightening.
It was all of
them. But best of all, it was really, really good.
Indeed. It's one of those times where, man, I don't even know where to begin with it. And I just want to, like, right up at the top of the show, I want to, as we always do, before we get into the meat of the discussion on Star Wars Rebels, the season two finale, I want to thank everyone who's supporting the show, over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. In fact, if you like this program and you want to support us financially, help us, maintain the costs of hosting and the website and all that good stuff. We've been upgrading some equipment here in the studio, and it's all thanks to our fine patrons, and you can join them over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's where we also distribute some awesome bonus content here at the podcast. Right now, we're doing our ongoing weekly Rebels commentaries. That's what we're going to do in addition to our full review here on the podcast. If you're a Patreon supporter, if you're a patron of us here, we're going to do our actual 22-minute episode commentaries here after the podcast itself is wrapped up. But again, thanks to everyone who's supporting us at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Also coming up, it's Star Wars Episode 8. It's really swinging into high gear. But also what's swinging into high gear is the promotion for the Star Wars The Force Awakens Blu-ray player, which is sort of available right now. It's all the digital platforms are out right now. And as you're listening to this podcast, if you're downloaded this on the podcast version, the day it releases, tomorrow's the day. And so it's going to be a good time. There's all kinds of really cool behind-the-scenes stuff and promotional material coming out. And we're going to go through all of that, Boba's Bounty and more here on the podcast. But first, I also want to start right off with the Star Wars Rebels season two finale, and who better to bring in to kick off this segment than someone who was there at the premiere, at the screening at Lucasfilm, where she got to see it before any of us got all the feels. Let's bring in Amy Ratcliffe. How's it going, Amy?
Good. I'm tweeting that I'm live on the Star Wars Report right now.
Hey.
So pardon my typing.
No, absolutely. Tweet away. Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming on and enlightening some of the Star Wars Report folks. What it's like? What it's like up there?
Well, actually, I was not at Lucasfilm. It was at Disney.
Oh, that's right. I stand corrected. That's right. Where was the actual screening held? Because I'm so used to the Clone Wars screenings that were done at Lucasfilm. What was the give us the sit rep, as they say?
You know, it was actually pretty cool. It was on I forgot the name of the theater. That's cool. It was on the Disney lot though, and it happened to be the same theater where I saw my press screening of The Force Awakens. So it was a very full circle. I'm like, apparently, I'm just going to see all the Star Wars in this theater and.
There you go.
That's how it is going to be.
And maybe. Was this the correct me if I'm wrong? Was this the first time that that Lucasfilm did a screening of this kind for Rebels, or did they do this for season one?
I'm trying to remember back, and I think you're right. I think this
I'm
is
pretty
the
sure
first.
This is a first, and it was a big deal. They had a lot of the cast and crew. So let's give us the lowdown. What was it like? Who was there? And then we'll talk about, of course, what you guys saw.
Of course. It was interesting, actually, when I started talking with Lucasfilm about moderating the screening, their PR person was telling me, Tracy, that they don't normally do this sort of thing for season finales, but once the Disney execs saw it and understood what a big deal it was, they're like, oh, okay, yes, this should be an event. So they had, it was a really cool mix of attendees. It was press, obviously, cast and crew. Also fans from like the 501st and Rebel Legion and R2-D2 builders, members of an animation guild that I don't remember the proper number of, and Lucasfilm and Disney execs as well. So Kiri Hart was there. So that was the more people I saw file in, I'm like, what have you gotten yourself into? Because
I have to say, absolutely huge congratulations on that. By the way, that's really cool. I saw the pictures coming out on Twitter. I'm like, yes, it's Amy. You're kind of one of our own. We're claiming you here at the Star Wars Report because, of course, we had Star Wars Tonight, which was such a fun project last year. It's hard to believe. I can't even believe I'm saying last year for the Force Awakens stuff. But that's so cool that you're able to moderate that. And before we get into the actual meat of what took place in the episodes itself. What's the general vibe of the crowd? Is it something like Clone Wars screenings previously, or do you feel like this is something that Disney was really trying to put their own magic in an event? It already kind of sounds like it was with so many fans and press, and that getting a nice mixture of different groups.
Exactly. It was a little different because I've been to a few Clone Wars events. You know, one was for press, one was for I've been to the Night Sisters. They debuted that at the Egyptian in Hollywood, and that was more of a fan thing. So it was kind of an interesting mix because on one side, you know, you had photo ops and you had Darth Vader and a couple troopers from the 501st there to take pictures. And then next to that you had, or nearby, like the red carpet for press that were doing camera and audio interviews. So it was a weird mix, but not, I want to say it wasn't fancy. Like, I mean, the theater was nice. We got popcorn. We got drinks. That's always, I'm easy to please. Like, you give me a free bucket of popcorn, I'm a happy girl. but the tone of the episode definitely made it different.
That's awesome. No, and we're going to get into it right now. In fact, I'll just kick us off, I think, real quick here is because, fair warning, if you have not seen the season two finale of Star Wars Rebels, which I actually don't have I should have the episode guide up in front of me now. I'm actually going to pull it up right now, but I'm not going to lie. I only have our show doc up, which I personally titled the episode, and I was very proud of this title, Amy. I personally titled this finale, Lady Tano and the Rise of the Shadow. That's my title.
That's a good name.
Because that's probably well my favorite part. Because here's the deal, folks. When it comes to Star Wars Rebels, let's be honest. It's a different beast. It's a different animal than Clone Wars. And that comes with a lot of benefits from, I think, a more collaborative storytelling team. But also, it comes with its own losses in that it's not the same budget as the Clone Wars. It's tough to match some of the episodes of Clone Wars at its best. I've been very honest about that when it comes to things like the Night Sisters arcs or Darth Maul's appearances in the Clone Wars. There's so many, like the Pong Krell arc. I still, to this day, some of the best Star Wars storytelling to date. And I have to say, when it comes to Star Wars Rebels, when it's at its best, it gets to the core of the mythology of Star Wars. And that's what happened in this season finale. In this season finale, you have not only the return of Shadows of the Past, a pun emphatically intended, and the return of Ahsoka, not just as this sort of removed mentor that could be kind of any senior rebellion official in terms of story-wise. Now it's her. It's Ahsoka, and it has to be Ahsoka in the story. And there are real consequences for many of the characters. And to me, when the credits rolled on the second episode last night, right? We watched it. Yeah, Bethany and I and our mom, we actually all sat down.
Oh, that's true.
I feel bad now because I brought everybody in except Bethany. Bethany, Mark, and myself. We're all here, Amy. Mm-hmm. For this round.
Hi, Mark.
Hey.
And sorry, let me just derail the conversation.
No, that's fine. I realized I did like the big intro and stuff, and then I realized that you had called in. So yeah, no, that's no worries. I'll just say this: when those credits rolled right at the end, and I look over at Bethany, and I'm like, that's the best episode of Star Wars television to date, and I still feel that way. And so let's take the deep dive in. And we'll go around the circle. Let's start with you, Bethany. Your overall thoughts on the season two finale.
Wow. Well, I'll lead into it by saying that while I do really enjoy Rebels, I have been pining away these past years for the Clone Wars. I miss the Clone Wars.
Which is
and
so
I
funny.
Really, really like the Clone Wars.
You think
Wars,
about the early days of season one. That's
yes.
But here we are, yeah.
And Rebels just didn't live up to my love of Clone Wars. But last night, that changed. Last night, when I saw the season finale, I thought, wow. Clone Wars, I shall always love thee, but Rebels has now taken your place.
Wow.
The episode was so good. It hit a tone that the Clone Wars did as well with its Ahsoka finale when we see Ahsoka leaving the Jedi. And that's such an emotional tone that's very difficult to capture in animation. And I know we're going to do an entire review later, so I don't want to spend too much time talking about it. But, man, Ahsoka was amazing.
Mm.
Ezra still irritates me. Why did you go and touch the thing? Why did you go and touch it?
Bethany's...
Ahsoka said no. Kanan said no. You're just going to be like, I'm going to leap up and touch a Sith object. And, Ezra, you're so young. You need to listen to other people more. Not Sith, but other people.
So Mark, your overall thoughts. It's the true return of Ahsoka. Your thoughts.
So, you know, I had a fanboy reaction all the way through it, but at the same time, I don't know, I felt like there was a lot of bait and switch, the carrot and the stick kind of thing when it comes to fates. I was really kind of excited when we saw Maul was coming in here, knowing Ahsoka was going to finally confront Vader. I was thinking, you know, this could be one of those moments. You know, the episode before this, we were talking about how I was hoping Kanan would be the one that would die. But I like the fact that through this episode, there were some huge consequences for Kanan's character, especially, you know, and the score, I think, really amped up everything about those moments.
Yes.
But I'm still kind of in the camp of Rebels is still kind of getting to piggyback off of the Clone Wars in many ways. Because like a lot of the things I like about this episode are because of the background with those characters. I mean, when Vader's standing there and the right side of his helmet's broke away, and you could see Anakin's eye, his cheekbone, his forehead, and the scar running down to his eye, and you can hear Matt's voice in there. Oh my God. I mean, the background of all of their moments from, you know, hi, I'm a new learner, Ahsoka Tano, Master Yoda sent me, to, you know, I've got to walk away. I mean, all that was just playing out in front of me, and the score just caught me and just and drug me along. And so when I was watching this episode, I was really hoping we were going to get one of those fate type stories. You know, we see Asajj Ventress get her fate told in Dark Disciple. But by the end of this episode, when we see that moment where, you know, Vader, he gets away and you see the temple and you see Ahsoka like walking down inside of it. Like, I don't know. I kind of wish that that wasn't there. I really felt like that was too much. I mean, like, I was thinking about The Walking Dead and the way its episode ended this last week and how I was just sitting there 10 minutes later with my jaw still hanging. You know, that was just completely...
Yeah.
And I felt like that could have been that moment. You know, they had Moving Target was a book with Luke, and they had this pod racer scene where you think Luke dies, and then the next chapter they tell you he don't, and then they go on to the next book, and it's like, man, they should have not said anything. They should have left it open where you're like, oh my God, he dies in this book. And then, you know, the next book in the series, they could have told it. But I think that really kind of hurt my overall impression of this story, because, you know, again, Darth Maul gets away. You know, again, Ahsoka's still alive. But there are so many more directions that could go. So I'm kind of like the whole Fulcrum angle. You know, I keep talking about, well, Fulcrum was created for Rebels before they decided to make it Ahsoka. So Fulcrum's got a story that was intended to be told. So is Ahsoka going to hide now and go into hiding? Or is she going to continue on as Fulcrum? Or another thought that occurs to me is, what if she did die and what we saw was her Force ghost walking away into the Nether? There's just so many angles there that I just kind of wish that scene would have been left off.
See, and that's interesting, because there are enormous consequences, which is what made this episode, I think, so engaging on so many levels. But they did have a few characters' key fates left open for future stories. Amy, you take us home on the kind of overall impressions. Specifically, did you feel that it was a missed opportunity, perhaps, to not end the fate of one of the main characters of the show? Or is that too Game of Thronesy?
Well, I do want to quickly say, I think that I've heard some people hypothesize that maybe they didn't kill somebody because it's a kid's show and they don't want to show that on screen. And I don't think that's a reason. I think that if that was the story they wanted to tell, that they would make the case to Disney XD. And we've seen, I mean, Rebels has gotten relatively dark. I always think back to that episode where they found, or, you know, where the Empire was using Luminara as sort of Luminara and Unduli's like mummy, basically her dead body of sorts as sort of bait.
Yeah.
That's pretty dark.
That's true. I forgot about that.
I mean, so when I went into this, like going in, I just was for sure. I was certain that Ahsoka was going to die. I didn't see a way that she could have a confrontation with Darth Vader and walk away from it, not only because of his skill with the lightsaber, but because he's done with being Anakin Skywalker, and she's a reminder of that past and what could have been and what wasn't. And I didn't see a way out. So that was the attitude I went into the episode with. And I thought, you know, I just want closure. I love Ahsoka. She's my favorite Star Wars character, possibly my favorite character in fiction, or at least certainly the one I've related to the most in my adult years. And I was just, I want an ending of some kind. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the episode, mm-hmm. and that didn't happen. It's left open to, it's kind of a choose your own adventure. You can decide what you think happened with her specifically. And I was okay with it. I felt it let me harbor hope. I don't know if she's alive or dead, but I don't think her story is done. But as far as Maul, as much as I was thrilled to see him back, and I think Sam Witwer delivered an incredible performance as this sort of Yoda Palpatine hybrid with Maul, because he totally Palpatined Ezra, totally Palpatined him.
Yeah,
I know. In fact, down to the capture, he wanted his own apprentice, which is such a fascinating aspect of it. In fact, let's dig into Maul for a moment, because I think for me, he's such a compelling character at this point, particularly knowing his past in the Clone Wars. But even not knowing, I imagine if you're a new audience that hasn't seen the Clone Wars, there's a level of intrigue. And I thought it was interesting they went out of their way not to really show his metal legs, to where it could be, if you had never seen the Clone Wars, you wouldn't really know his fate from there. So I thought that was an interesting aspect of it itself. But as to Sam Witwer, the man knows how to act. Like, he has such control over displaying such complex and varied emotions, but all within a consistent character. You have this sort of bruised and battered and embittered Darth Maul that you at first wonder how on earth he's even survived all this time, to by the end you are fully convinced and don't even question the fact that no, he is as powerful as he ever was when you look at the way he took on Kanan.
Did you notice that he kind of played old master, kind of like Chancellor Palpatine or Senator Palpatine? Like, you know, he was very soft and very how Palpatine was with Anakin before Anakin ever figured out he was a Sith Lord. And then when he kind of revealed it, he started to get real harsh. The way I was like, dude, that's great. I had a hard time really getting into Sam, though, because I was just so hooked on the way Ashley was playing Ahsoka. I mean, that confrontation with Vader and stuff. I mean, I was bawling. I don't know about you guys. I was like, oh my God. I was like you, Amy, thinking this was going to be her moment. I mean, as much as I was hoping Kanan was going to die, I was just like, it's going to be her.
Wait, so do you want Kanan to die, or was it just, I don't want Ahsoka to die, so just kill anybody else?
Wanted Kanan to die. I thought the best thing to do would be for Kanan to die in this episode and have Ahsoka be forced to finish Ahsoka's training, because Kanan's death would have pushed him, the apprentice, into the twilight. Then as we saw Darth Maul playing out, I was thinking, oh, maybe Darth Maul's going to die and it's going to be, oh, shadow of the apprentice, as in, oh, Vader's going to kill. No, I mean, there was so many ways I thought the title was playing in here. But yeah. I thought, you know, you kill off Kanan and it just creates this avenue where Ahsoka's forced into the show and it feels more natural. I mean, it's not like, oh, they're ramming the Clone Wars in. It's like, oh, well, you know, hey, for Ezra's character, she kind of needs somebody. And, well, she keeps saying she's not a Jedi. So now she's, you know, it's kind of like who's best to lead? Well, definitely the guy that's good at it that keeps saying, I don't want this.
Yeah. Bethany, is the incredible storytelling here, maybe not proof, but is it something that should point to, maybe, in your opinion, storytelling in Rebels, maybe for season 3, should be more focused on the fallout of these episodes and what happens with Maul and Ahsoka? Is that something that's captured your interest more, or do you kind of covet or miss the days of the I want to use Firefly references here, but you know, the days on board the Ghost and the building of the Rebellion?
Well, let me get to that in a little bit of a roundabout way. The fact that they chose to end the second season of Star Wars Rebels, and I emphasize the fact that it's been running for 2 seasons, where it is heavily focused on 2 characters that were hugely popular in the Clone Wars TV show, tells me something, which is that fans, and perhaps the creators as well, are hanging on to these characters and these storylines. Mm. And I do wonder if beyond a possible attachment that Filoni and co. may have to Ahsoka and Maul and the Clone Wars characters and storylines, if perhaps they think it might be more profitable to continue bringing those stories into Rebels without letting it completely dominate the show. Because I understand that it's a fine balance to walk, and Filoni's already discussed it. But the fact that they have...
It's a tough balance, though. You're right.
A lot of hope, because that has honestly been some of my favorite aspects of the show. My favorite Clone Wars episodes were always the ones where they had a 2-part, 3-part, 4-part arc.
Yes.
Almost always. I love the continual nature of the 2-part finale, and I would love to see a lot more of that in Rebels. It feels too much like... Again, like, I've watched all 10 seasons of Supernatural, and my favorite parts of Supernatural have been when there's an overarching storyline, and sometimes an entire season long, where they're trying to figure out something that has a lot of impact for themselves, the people they know, and the world within the show. And not the one-off, oh, here's a random ghost that we need to hunt down and kill. So Rebels is like mission of the week. And Supernatural is like monster of the week when I like it least. When I like it the most is when it has an overarching storyline. A la Battlestar Galactica. So I really do want to see that more in Rebels. I
can definitely see that. I can definitely see that. Amy, the episode finishes off. It leaves it definitely up for interpretation with Ahsoka. It does not leave it up for interpretation with Maul. Just Maul. We see him escaping very much like Vader in A New Hope, taking off the old TIE fighter, and we see the consequences of the confrontation with Kanan. Mark, you may not have gotten your wished for death. By the way, we'll be sure to bring that up when we get Freddie Prinze Jr. on the show. but there were consequences. So Amy, let me ask, where do they go from here? What's the direction that you see for season three, and as we very impatiently wait?
Right? I hope they do a staggered summer fall thing again with season three, like they did with season two. Please. But we'll see. I think I'm glad they brought Darth Maul in, and not just because I'm a fan of the character, but just because it's different. I don't want to see insert random number here, Inquisitor, as villains next season, because I feel like that's, I don't want to say it's played out, but we've encountered several Inquisitors now.
You can say that, Amy. In fact, I apologize, just to briefly interject. I will say this is, as again, best episodes of Star Wars television to date. There's only one thing I didn't like in this entire episode. And the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, that's cool. I looked over Bethany. And the second time I saw it, I was like,
that's
pretty convenient. And about the fourth time, I was like, all right, come on now. And we're talking about the helicopter escape lightsaber.
Yes.
About the time I understood, like, gliding kind of was a cool phenomenon for escaping, but the second that those make you your own portable drone.
I can understand gliding with it, which is kind of how we first saw it, but then when I literally saw him take off into the air and rise up like a helicopter, complete with the wop 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 sound effects, I was like, just no.
Sorry, what was that, Bethany, again?
It was just the wop 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 wop.
Physics!
Before I so rudely interrupted you, but Amy, where do they go?
The Sabercopters? Away, hopefully forever. No, just kidding. The Inquisitors, right, because they're presumably, you know, we've met, what, 5, 7, and 8 now, and we don't know how many there are. And they're probably still, I guess it's still their job to track down Jedi, but I hope that they are not a factor in the next season, and I hope that instead it's, you know, Maul has shown his cards to some degree. He's shown his ambition. He's revealed he wants an apprentice. It sounds like he wants to take that apprentice and take over for Vader and Palpatine. So he's a formidable opponent. He is scarier to me than any Inquisitor, I believe. And I would like to see him play a relatively big role. If there's going to be a villain besides Darth Vader, and they can't overuse that card either.
That's true. That, and they've done such a good job so far. On that. On
exactly. That. He needs a... You have to use a light touch with Vader. A little Vader goes a long way.
Yeah. That TIE fighter starts lowering down, and it's...
So many people in the theater cheered when that happened. I'm like, why are you cheering for Darth Vader? He's here to kill everybody.
I cheered right here.
I don't care how cool it looks.
I cheered right on my couch here in Georgia.
You did.
I think gasped.
To see more Inquisitors, honestly. I think it's going to go the opposite. If we're going to get less Vader, you're definitely going to get more Inquisitors, because I think they're going to be hunting the last of the quote-unquote Rebels. I mean, I like the aspect that this could be part of where Vader's obsession with Rebels starts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Okay, fair.
Hmm. Well, let me go.
And they did make him, like, the Seventh Sister, at least. She had, you know, she was an interesting personality. She was a little touched in the head and very manipulative and had her droids, but the fifth brother was just a piece of cardboard that had a lightsaber.
Did they number that new Inquisitor that was waiting for Maul? Because I kept wishing we'd see his face. His hands were like green, and so I'm like, okay, he's an alien of some sort like the others, because that's something where I'm really digging on that. I mean, so we, like you said, Amy, we do know that there was at least 7, possibly 8. The Grand Inquisitor was.
They mentioned the species. Yeah. What was it? The happy toad hopper. What was the species?
The something Jango jumper, and he's the 8th brother. Is in the credits.
Sorry, excuse me. Not the toad hopper. The Jango.
Did anyone else cry when Seventh Sister went down? I was like, no.
That was. Well, let me cap off our segment here, and take it back to you, Bethany, and say there's one other kind of item that's left open that we really finished the episode with. And I well, there are two items, and I think they're tied. And I want you to tie them together, at least in the way that you think they are. That is Ezra's connection with the Sith holocron and the freaking bird. Let's talk about the freaking bird.
Oh, right.
The bird. The freaking bird. What did you saw this on Twitter?
I immediately
called me today, right? Was it earlier today?
It was earlier today following a grueling Russian exam.
That's true.
And I wanted to take my mind off of said grueling Russian exam and hopped on Twitter.
And
I tend to lurk on Twitter too much. So I looked at this and I saw a picture of the bird. And then I saw a picture of the daughter from the Clone Wars in the Mortis arc. And then I saw a picture of her animal form from the Clone Wars, which is that bird.
It's the bird. It's the sister from the Mortis arc. I kid you not.
This is perfect. I'm planning to watch. I was going to watch the Rebels finale again tonight. Now I'm going to watch the Mortis trilogy and then the Rebels finale.
Mark. Nice. Remember what we talked about at the end of the last week's episode?
Yeah.
The bird. I just like saying the bird.
I just kept going, why Mortis? Because you saw Mortis in all those you know, flashbacks in the trailers, and I was like, where am I, Mortis? Oh,
now we know. It's the freaking bird. In fact, episode title, The Freaking Bird.
Can I point out one last thing about this show, though? Ezra, and I know I've had my problems with the character, mainly because he does have a lot of good qualities and a lot of potential, and yet continuously throughout the show, he will either do or say stupid things that get him in trouble and danger, or everybody else in
terrible.
Trouble or danger.
You're,
he has to touch the thing or jump on the
Bethany,
thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we're watching these episodes, Bethany is like Ezra's personal high school guidance counselor.
Yes.
You got potential. You just have to stop making these terrible decisions.
But it's so frustrating.
That's
but
so true.
I actually do wonder, because it does show obviously
about to get him in trouble.
Yeah, Ezra's connection with Darth Maul and the Sith holocron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he not only touched the dark side, but he drew on the dark side in order to lift those blocks. He drew on his anger,
Sithy eyes.
Much like Anakin did when he killed Dooku. And in the shot where they show Ezra's eyes are a different color, I think that may be a reflection. That's not actually him having
Sith eyes.
The orange.
No, those are Sith eyes, because Maul said you have to either be someone that's trained in the arts or someone that needs or wants to be trained in the arts.
Mm.
And that thing unlocked for him. I was like, oh my God!
Yeah, that was a great one.
But the Sith holocron was glowing, so I thought that it was that sort of red-orange glow that was reflecting back
was
in Ezra's eyes.
With the
I think so, too. I think it was reflection, but it's symbolic.
There was a moment, by the way, when he was trying to unlock the holocron and failing initially, when I was like, and he was going to have to use his passion, use his anger, which, by the way, I know somewhere there was a recording booth and there was a technician there, and I'm guessing I'm going to set the scene. Filoni's sitting there behind the glass, and he's saying, "All right, Sam, give it a go." And Sam goes like, "Dave, I think we need a little bit more spice, a little bit more spice. Let's do some. We're doing the Sith chant, the Sith passion. The passion is your only source. Then there's anger." The Force will set you free, right? I just loved that little broken reference to, of course.
Well, yeah, because he said like break your chains at some point too, right? Which is not part
broken,
of the Sith code.
Yeah, broken kind of version of the Sith code, which I thought was really well done, and something that evidently Sam Witwer likes a lot, because he was mumbling that as Maul when he first showed up in the Clone Wars too. So I thought that was a cool touch. I thought that was a really cool touch. So there's of course the Sith holocron, the bird. And Ezra turning to the dark side, and we'll just have to wait till season 3 premieres. Well, we don't know when yet, but I'm sure we will be closely tuned with our ear to the ground, listening for that creepy bird to show up again. That bird, man, it's freaking me out. Amy, thanks so much for coming on for the segment. Where can folks find you online if they are interested in all of what you have to say in the world of Star Wars and geekdom?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. And I can be found at Twitter and Instagram as Amy_Geek. And you can find my writing on StarWars.com and Nerdist.com.
Perfect, perfect.
Oh, and I co-host Star Wars podcast. I always forget that.
Indeed.
Full of Sith and Lattes with Leia.
Oh, that's true, because since the last time you came on, you have launched Lattes with Leia, which is really cool. That's part of the Coffee with Kenobi network. So Lattes with Leia, which, by the way, is something I would love to do. Can you imagine sitting down in a coffee shop with Carrie Fisher? Well, actually, I kind of can, actually.
That would be the best day ever.
And then I was like, Harrison! All right, sorry. All right, Amy, we'll get all those links as well in the show notes for this episode. It's episode 216. You'll find it there on StarWarsReport.com for all of those links to Amy's fine work. Amy, we'll have you on again real soon. Thanks so much, and may the Force be with you.
Hey, guys. It's Ashley Eckstein here, voice of Ahsoka Tano. You're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Oh, man. That's right. Again, huge thanks to Amy Ratcliffe. She is awesome, as always. And it's so glad to have her on the show. And man, that was so much fun. That's half the show. We got to get... Good
I
Lord.
I do have to say one thing and cut in real quick. The creature form of the daughter in Mortis has the exact same coloring as the bird, but looks more like a griffin.
Ah.
So it's possible... Gotcha. This is some sort of reincarnation or offshoot of the daughter or somebody related to the daughter.
It's awfully close.
But it is really close, and the coloring is pretty much exactly the same.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, let's hit it. Let's hit some news.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen, listen.
This week in the news, it is, well, it's Star Wars Rebels. You guys thought we were done talking about it, but we're not. There's an article, there's a piece in an interview with IGN, I believe it was. Yeah, talking about the season finale. And it's interesting, Pablo Hidalgo is on record as saying, quote, over the course of the next season, we're going to see more and more recognizable elements in Star Wars Rebels. We're going to see more of the rebellion that we recognize in Episode 4 and in Rogue One. Taking shape. Mark, what do you want to see in the rebellion from Rogue One?
Wow. You know, that, okay, so that makes me think about something that I was going to run by you and especially Bethany. I really wanted to ask her about this. Season 3 feels like it's going to be the Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. You know, it felt like a trilogy far.
This,
you know,
this was definitely the Empire Strikes Back of the show.
Yeah. And I felt like that at the end of the first season. It was like, it felt like a new hope. And so I was kind of wondering, you know, are they going to have an exit strategy? Are they going to plan to end it, like, you know, at a point like that? And this comment kind of makes me start to think like that. I mean, now that Kanan has the injury that he has, you know, we could find out that, you know, maybe Freddie Prinze Jr. is going to show up in the Rogue One as this commander guy that's got his bandages on.
A little cameo.
You never know. I mean, or a picture of him or something, at least.
That would be kind of funny
in that regard. But the fact that they mentioned that we're going to start recognizing elements from Rogue One in Episode One or Episode Four, I think Rogue One, especially, it's what's going to come first in the timeline. So that's going to be the thing that's really going to make sense. So as they do their work and trying to make Rogue One fit with A New Hope, it should just kind of feel like one and the same. It'll start to feel like an era versus two films, because those do tie. I mean, depending on how far they're pushing Rogue One out there, if they're going to do like it's a month, or if they're going to do like it's a week, or if they're going to do a this is all a 24-hour type of film, you know, I mean, that really presses how big or, you know, small it connects to A New Hope. I don't know.
Indeed. Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see where they go how much Star Wars Rebels connects to it. Cause I think certainly probably not like an on-screen Freddie Prinze Jr., but you know, never know. Maybe there'll be a little side reference or some troopers or a reference to the old Commander Hera.
Pilot.
Indeed.
Well, I will say that there has been a rumor going around that Star Wars Rebels might end sooner rather than later.
I wonder if I were to put money on it.
The 1-2-3 season thing, Mark, you might not be too far off. Although I don't want you to be right, you might be right.
Yeah.
But I mean, imagine the ramp up if this was, but then again, you know, if this was going to be the end, wouldn't you think they'd already be telling us that?
So, yeah. No.
Is that blowing it up?
That's so true. That's so true.
Then I knock it over. As long as I don't do that with Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, no, well, and I'll tell you what, also in the news, major, major promotion going on for The Force Awakens Blu-ray. USA Today has an exclusive video out that showed the training for The Force Awakens snow fight, specifically John Boyega going at it. And it's a really cool video. We'll have a link to the piece in it itself. And they have a very interesting little excerpt from it that we're going to see. I'm assuming this is going to be part of the behind the scenes. But John Boyega in the interview goes on to reference the deleted scene.
More...
Oh, for the love of Pete, I hate ads.
Yes.
There we go. Sorry. It goes on to reference the deleted scene where Finn and Han are cornered by stormtroopers in Maz's castle, and that was the first time, by the way, that Finn. I keep wanting to call him Finn. John Boyega and Harrison Ford. Quote, got in our flow in terms of the banter and the jokes. We were having fun and ended up shooting it like 13 different ways just because it was a lark to do it. So that's the kind of insight I think that we're going to start getting in some of these behind the scenes. They had the big, screening of the behind the scenes documentary that's coming with the Blu-ray.
I can't wait to watch all of that.
I was talking to our good buddy Mark Newbold, who was at that screening. It was in the UK, and they pre-screened it, and he was super, super impressed. And I'm so glad they're doing like a proper, full behind-the-scenes documentary for The Force Awakens instead of just kind of the weird Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith ones, which are good, but not as good as having the whole the whole thing. So that's one part of the promotion that's going up towards the Blu-ray release. But what's really made the rounds in the fan community with all these clips and interviews and stuff that are happening right now is this footage, this behind-the-scenes footage of Daisy Ridley's audition to play Rey. And this is up on the official Star Wars YouTube channel. We've got a link to a Hollywood Life piece that has the video. And it's interesting because her audition was the scene where she is cornered. I mean, not even cornered, captured and trapped and attached to the torture device, a la not unlike the one on Bespin, where Han Solo was tortured. And she does that full scene interacting with, just definitely not, I was going to say, what is definitely not the hand of, what's his face?
Well, I mean, what's the irony here that if she turns out to be a Skywalker, you know, we get another family torture scene? Because in the end,
that's
now
so
we
true.
Find out that, well, you know, Vader is technically torturing his grandson's father in the, you know, future. It's funny.
That's
you know?
True.
I always love that angle of.
Let's take a listen real quick. I'm going to play a little bit of the audio here.
See the future.
This depth of struggle and tears were streaming down her face. I thought, this is unbelievable. And I asked her to stop, gave her a couple adjustments, do it again. And she did it again. And I thought, oh my God.
I guarantee he would have disappointed you.
Get out of my head.
There it is. There it is.
Get out of my head.
See, this is why I'm not going to be cast in Star Wars.
Well,
my very poor attempt right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's a prime example.
The first thing about this piece of news was that my dad actually stumbled across it first of the three of us.
That's true. He beat us to it.
Which is a first time happening. Usually we get the Star Wars news way before he does.
Like,
but he was like, hey, did you guys see this video? And I was like,
Star Wars trailer?
95% sure I had seen it before, but I clicked on it and I was like, whoa. And then my second reaction was, he beat us to the news.
That's so true. That's so true. Fandango has an exclusive interview with all-around awesome guy, Matthew Wood. Of course, one of the main sound designers at Lucasfilm and at Skywalker Sound. And he talks a little bit about how they developed that voice filter, that mask filter for Kylo Ren. And what's interesting to me about it is the fact that this wasn't the traditional Vader-esque filter. It was very organic. And to achieve that, I just wanted to highlight this for a second. It was basically chainsaws and flamethrowers that inspired Kylo Ren's voice in The Force Awakens, which is just amazing. quote, this is directly from, quote, J.J. wanted that mask to convey a certain kind of creepiness. He used to say, Harley Davidson's, chainsaws, flamethrowers. Wood added that when it came to the sound of Kylo Ren's mask, Abrams wanted it to have an intimidating feel. Unlike Darth Vader, whom Ren is clearly trying to emulate, his mask isn't keeping him alive. It's purely there for intimidation. Which, I mean, and it does. At least until he takes it off, in which case you realize he's kind of a whiny brat who just wants to be like granddaddy. Poor Kylo Ren. Goodness. Poor Kylo Ren. He's like, he is such a, like, there's a reason that the emo Kylo Ren Twitter account took
there
off
really
like it
is.
Did. Because let's be honest, he's really emo. We all have a Kylo Ren friend in our life at some point. At some point. Oh my goodness.
I just keep thinking about the Harley Davidson part. I mean, can you just imagine one sitting there idling? You'd be like, what is that sound? Oh, it's the back of my helmet.
Oh, it's so true. So true.
The
so
troopers
true.
Could be like, uh-oh, here he comes, and he's mad. He's revved up.
That's,
I mean,
so that's true.
I'm kind of glad they dropped that one. I mean, but when you think about, like, the sound of a flamethrower and the rah of a chainsaw as it's cutting.
I was playing,
like, star sounds that do kind of get your hackles up.
I was playing Boba Fett, not too long ago on Battlefront, and I can definitely get the inspiration for sure. And then finally, one more piece of news I wanted to hit up for you guys is, well, let's pretend we live in a world where they did a full-length novel about Ahsoka and her post-Clone Wars life. Oh, wait! They did. Author E.K. Johnson. Johnston, correct me, please, is writing Star Wars Ahsoka, which is coming out October 2016, exclusively announced on The Nerdist. It's like we know somebody who writes over there. Ahsoka is from Disney Lucasfilm Press, written by, of course, E.K. Johnston. The novel will follow Ahsoka Tano after the events of Order 66. That's exactly how he says it. And there it is. It's going to be Ahsoka Tano, the fan favorite character of the Clone Wars. You know, we just spent like the first half hour of the show talking about. There's a reason for it, and finally, the former Rebel operative Fulcrum, the former apprentice to Anakin Skywalker, the former adversary of Darth Vader, and maybe continued adversary, we'll see, is the subject of her own Star Wars standalone novel. Mark, we had the whole back and forth last week about how frustrated I'd become with the lack of connection with the greater Star Wars mythology that most of the novels released in the new canon have. Here, they're getting me now. This is it. This is what I want.
Think about that angle where people are like, well, maybe Ahsoka's going to be in Rogue One. Well, what's the last part of this say? But her desire to fight the evils of the Empire and protect those who need it will lead her right to Bail Organa and the Rebel Alliance. I mean, so if maybe she does disappear some, maybe she goes to Bail's side. In Legends, there was Ferris Olin ended up doing that role. Maybe this is Ahsoka's fate, is to be at Bail's side, and still do her role as Fulcrum.
It's the fate of Ahsoka.
I like it, but again, I'm kind of like, I'm feeling like I want that end fate. You know, I want that dark disciple moment. I want to know whether she dies in her bed or dies at the sword. I want to know if Vader, does hunt her down and this is just their first encounter, or if she purposely hides. And this is not going to be that story. We got something similar to that with Darth Maul lockdown right after we got Maul's fate of being caught in the Clone Wars. You know, it was, the last we saw him was Sidious was taking him away. And he's like, you're going to live a long time and torture you, kind of thing. And everyone's like, oh, lockdown. We're going to find out what happened to Maul. No, this is set before episode
Mark,
one. Like, wait,
Mark.
What? Why would you do that?
You're reminding me. They do have to be careful with Maul here, because after a certain point, Darth Maul will become the Shaak Ti of the new canon.
At some point, you're going to find out that Maul had cosmetic surgery gone bad, and he changed his name to Snoke.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, boy. Start the rumors now, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're getting towards the end of the show, so you guys know what it's time for. It's time for...
It's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Each week, we like to take something that we've been reading, watching, consuming, breathing in the world and community of that galaxy far, far away. This week is no exception as we get ready to highlight something that we've been doing and are interested in that you should know about. You listening to this very podcast. I'll kick us off this week real quick and just say my pick is Rebels Recon. Like you guys all know, it's Rebels Recon, the weekly behind the scenes look at Star Wars Rebels, officially released through the StarWars.com website and YouTube channel. Always a good time. It's not like super revealing, as far as information goes, if you're already a big fan and kind of follow the news. But this week is an exception where it's an extended 11-minute episode that goes behind the scenes of... allow me to scroll to the top of my show notes just to make sure that I get the title correct. The episode Lady Tano and the Rise of the Shadow. Thank you very much. But yes, it covers this, all of Star Wars Rebels, and this is by far the best episode of Rebels Recon. So if you haven't watched it each week, this week's episode is the one you want to watch. Mark Herleman, your pick of the week.
Well, I was surprised to find out that my theater was finally going to drop The Force Awakens from their playlist. Wasn't one of those cheap $2 theaters. No, they were charging full price up until yesterday, and we caught the last showing. I kicked the extra money and paid for my son to get in so me and my son and my daughter could watch the last one together. Because what we were going to do was bring the Tascam Linear PCM recorder, the DR05 version 2 enhanced performance recording device that we got thanks to our patrons. And that I was going to go down and we were going to do a live commentary, me and my kids. But when we showed up, the place was packed. I was kind of blown away because it's been dead and empty. Apparently, everybody waited to the last showing and was like, oh, it's not going to show tomorrow. We got to go.
So wait. There's a last-minute crowd, a last-minute spike in attendance?
Yeah. And it was literally dead. I was asking the guys at the booth. I'm like, so how many people? They're like, oh, two, three. Is that all day? No, not bad per showing. I'm like, okay. And that's how it was when I went and saw it the other day. One of the things that I wanted to mention when you were talking about the Bodega interview is he was talking about one of the things was hard to spill was the fact that he wasn't a Jedi. And when I went and saw it, one of the times I went and saw it with my coworker Darnell, he's black. And when we were sitting there and Finn gets lightsabers, oh, the black boy's black. He's the Jedi. You know, he's all excited, you know, and then all of a sudden he gets knocked out. He's like, oh. Then it goes into Rey's and he's like, oh, the girl. Oh, shoot. And then he's like, who is she? I'm like, I don't know. Because he wanted me to, you know, like, is she Skywalker? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. There's nothing that don't tell us in the book yet.
Yep.
Like, but yeah, I mean, it was just, so I was thinking about that, you know, like, oh, well, if there's only like two or three people, you know, maybe we'll get to go and do it. Oh, heck no. Yeah, everybody wait till the very last showing. I'm like, oh, and of course, cool. You know, if we'd have gone to the one right before that, like 11 something, there was only two people. But again, it was in a small one. I was like, dang, just me and my kids.
It does bring warm feelings to my heart. And of course, never fear. I mean, this week's the Blu-ray. So that's when we can get the old physical copy and watch it as many times as we want.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Bethany, you got anything that's been going on this week in the world of Star Wars?
I do.
You like Star Wars?
I do. I was kind of missing the Clone Wars, and the Rebels finale wasn't out yet, and everybody was going and watching it at the cool press screenings, and I was like, we can't afford to go to California right now.
I wish, yeah.
And... I was like, I want to watch Star Wars, but I don't really have time right now, and it's awfully late at night. And so I stumbled into something that if you like Star Wars and you like reading, you should consider doing, is go to fanfiction.net and search for
first,
Star Wars, and then sort the results by review or by likes, because then you'll get the top few picks in Star Wars. And I stumbled across a couple of fics, as the lay people call them, were pretty cool. And I did read through one. It was pretty short, but it was a what if the Jedi had been more supportive of Anakin and Obi-Wan had been more involved, Bethany, in such decisions as, like when Anakin, yeah, mentions he has
like
the dreams,
universe, yeah,
instead of Obi-Wan being like, dreams pass in time, end of subject.
Dreams pass in time. You're fine.
I don't care if you've lost sleep for 3 months because you're having horrific nightmares. Dreams pass in time. You know, so just kind of a different...
Obi-Wan, I bet, does that about everything.
Your mom's arms once Monsters, again. Saying, Mom, it. Look how much I've grown. Your mom passed, so do your dreams.
Oh, snap.
And he's like, Alderaan, yeah, passed, Luke. Come on, let's get over it.
Your mom passed in time.
Oh. Get a Death Star in front of us. Come on.
Destroy,
he's like,
destroy
I butchered my
time.
Own Padawan at this point. Like, yeah, so he was knight. I don't, yeah, care. Like, he was still much. I was training the kid. I told him I had the high ground. I mean, come on.
Your legs passed in time. Oh, man. God. So...
I didn't seem to ever remember doing a droid.
Poor
droids
Obi-Wan.
Pass in time.
He just never knew how to deal with all of Anakin's
Bethany,
emotions.
Bethany, I was actually I'm sitting here praying that you said you'd discover like a treasure trove of Reylo slash fic, which
I haven't actually looked at that. But
there's a big piece. I forget that it came across my flipboard, and there's an entire piece dedicated to the huge influx of Reylo as the most popular pairing in the fan fiction universe. And there are thousands of fan fiction stories already. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the world we live in. That's a good pick. And what's the, what was the website? It was the fanfiction.net.
Mm-hmm.
That's, ladies, yes, and gentlemen, that's where
you're
you want
to be. You're Reylo and I automatically.
But I am most looking
playing,
forward
so.
To.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully watching Star Wars in theaters, The Force Awakens, for the last time this Sunday.
Oh, that's right. We have
with
a get together.
Our sister.
It's a family
and
affair.
Brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna take a few more out to the Dollar Theater, the second run this Sunday, which will make time numero nueve for me and for Bethany. Are you at 8, 7, 8 somewhere in there?
Somewhere. I'll have to go back. I can count.
Oh, you got
to
count.
William Devereaux is at freaking 16.
Actually, yeah, we should all give up counting because William Devereaux already won it all from,
yes,
of course, the Ion Cannon podcast.
Actually, I'm going to tweet out and say, ask people to tell me how many times they've seen Star Wars.
That's true. I'll tell you, it's probably more than we have. But, of course, it's Blu-ray week. It's our final screenings for in-theater versions of The Force Awakens week. It's Rebels finale week. It's been a good week. It's and more great Star Wars still to come. Keep it tuned right here at the Star Wars Report podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Star Wars Report podcast. Another episode 216 in the can. It's an hour already, folks. Boy, what a fun hour it's been. As always, it's the Star Wars Report podcast. You guys know it's a pure, unadulterated Star Wars awesomeness here at the Star Wars Report podcast. We thank you so much for tuning in this week. Again, a huge shout out and thank you to all the fine folks who are supporting us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. We're getting ready right now to do our 22-minute commentary for the first part. Part one, because they divided it in two. You have to buy it twice, unfortunately.
Boo.
But I know. We're going to do our commentary, of course,
yes,
for you guys who are our patrons, and we do appreciate you guys supporting us. And also, equally important, even if you can't support us, if you can't chip in, that's we perfectly understand that that's something that if you can, great. If you can't, that's perfectly fine. But what you can do...
You can donate 2 cents. You can even donate 2 cents.
Well, you can donate some time and go to this web URL. You want to go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. That's StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. And that directs you directly over to our iTunes page. Leave us a rating or review. We do very much appreciate you guys doing that because it helps get the word out about the show. and make the Star Wars Report family even bigger. Whew. Wow, what an episode. You can also email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. We read all of your emails and feature pretty much all of them here on the show. So if you have thoughts on the Rebels Season 2 finale that you want to share with us here on air, the email is starwarsreport@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Star Wars Report. But more importantly, here's our individual Twitter handles. You want to follow, of course, Amy. And again, a huge thanks to Amy. She was great. And thanks so much for sharing her experience over at Disney. Actually seeing it with a great crowd of folks. So Amy is at Amy_geek. Mark, he's at IllogicalRogue2. Bethany, she's at Bethany L. Blanton. And I'm at the Riley Guy. On the Twitter and on the Instagram and all that good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, that does it for this week's podcast. May the Force be with you. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Woo! Hey guys, it's Ashley Eckstein here, voice of Ahsoka Tano. You're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Yeah.